It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Hello, everyone. I'm Judge Jeanine Pirro, along with Geraldo Rivera, Jesse Waters, Katie Pavlich, and Greg Gutfeld. It's 5 o'clock in New York City, and this is The 5. The Democrats' favorite crypto creep and second biggest donor is really sorry about all that fraud. Disgraced former FTX CEO Sam Bankman-Fried, who gave nearly $40 million to the Democrats and vaporized billions of his investors' money, is trying to win back his friends in the press by going on a media rehab tour. He got raucous applause during an event for the New York Times.
I want to thank you for engaging in it at a time, in truth, when I know you've been advised not to. So thank you so very, very much. Thank you.
And now he's sitting down with George Stephanopoulos to complain about how he's not a mini Madoff.
A lot of people look at you and see Bernie Madoff.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's who I am at all. At the end of the day, look, there's a question of what happened and why and who did what caused the meltdown. And I think that is reads very differently, right? When you look at the classic Bernie Madoff story, there was no real business there. The whole thing, as I understand it, I think was just one big Ponzi scheme, right? FTX, that was a real business.
The crypto kingpin was also a big dollar donor to the media, showering them with millions. But Sam denies he was ever trying to buy influence. Okay.
Media matters a lot, and I want to support good media ventures. That was the whole thesis there. And, I don't have, governance over any of these. I wasn't looking for governance over them. I was looking to support journalists doing great work because I think what they do is really important, and I think that there needs to be a critical eye on stories.
All right, I'll go to that last quote, Greg, where he says, he gave money, tremendous amount of money, to the media, and he wasn't trying to influence them. He said, "I was just looking for governance over the media. I was looking to support journalists who did good work." So he's looking to have governance over them when he doesn't have any governance over himself.
Well, that makes me feel bad because he didn't give me anything.
No, you know? Exclamation didn't get any money.
I didn't get any money from. Are we sure that's not Mark Cuban in a fro? I can't. But, he kissed all the right butts, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, he used the veil of virtue signaling, which is all signaling and no virtue, to get into these places. Also, his parents are well-known Democrats. But this does reflect the problem that you're seeing in the United States right now. It feels like the adults have left the room. You know, a lot of the worst decisions in the last 2 years, like the abdication of law and order, all you do is see videos of people just walking in and stealing things, the abandonment of public decency, people living on the street, the death of risk-reward analysis, let's shut down forever. These are all the products of adolescent minds. And I feel like this pubescent hairball whose voice is yet to change is bilking people who should know better is another example of how this new world of unquestioned tolerance has eliminated the ability to call BS on people. Now, if you call BS on anything, you are considered mean or intolerant. So this guy can pull these shenanigans. And if you call him out, you're the bad guy. Think about all the scammers that we've seen. Obviously, Avenatti, Smollett, Sam Brinton, right? If you pointed out Sam Brinton at all, you would be considered, homophobic, transphobic, whatever phobic. So people just let this guy who obviously was troubled get away with stuff. And now he's, on leave. So I think that what the most valued person on earth is the person with the wisdom to call BS. We used to call them adults, and they need to return back and fix this place.
All right. Jesse, if someone kills someone and they say, well, I shouldn't be responsible for this. I never intended to kill that person. And that's what he's saying. I never intended to cause this fraud. But there are other levels of killing, like reckless, negligent. I mean, is he stupid enough, or is his lawyer, if he even has one, stupid enough to let him go on and say, you know, I did this, this, and this. There was no governance, but I didn't have any intent.
So he's crypto Baldwin. And Baldwin also went and begged Stephanopoulos to clean up his act. I think that's where you go. You go see little Georgie when you're in trouble as a Democrat. Biden disgraced us in Afghanistan, goes to Georgie. Baldwin shoots his co-star, goes to Georgie. And then crypto goes to George. That's where you go if you're a Democrat, where you did something really bad and you kind of get rehabbed. And Greg was saying that no one calls BS anymore. And you're right. Someone did, though. Warren Buffett. Mm-hmm. And that's why they call him the Oracle. Right. Because he said, this thing is a scam, this crypto thing. It's for traffickers and drug smugglers. And that's why this guy's worth billions of dollars, because he's into fundamentals. He doesn't buy into bubbles. You could have a guy steal a lectern on January 6th, and the left wants him to spend the rest of his life in prison. He steals billions of dollars.
And he's still out.
And he gets a round of applause. You know what? Stay amazing. In the Bahamas. Stick your feet up. Drink some champagne. Relax. Now, before we move on, I have to settle something with Geraldo. Geraldo, I bet you about the red wave in the Senate.
You
said the Republicans were going to win the Senate. I lost.
The red fiddle.
It's because he bought the Senate, Minnie Madoff, but I'm not going to squirrel out. Here's my checkbook.
Okay.
Now, if I cut you this check, do not hold it up in front of the camera because my account number's on here.
Okay.
All right? It's $1,000. I'll put it right here.
So why don't we make it to Life's Work? That's
his
the charity.
Life's Work.
Life's Work. W-O-R-C.
That's right.
I'm going to have to look
so
into
you'll be
this.
Doing some good along with your humiliation.
Life's Work.
Your arrant humiliation.
Okay.
Don't rub it in, Geraldo.
The hubris of youth.
All right. Let me ask you this. This guy, SBF, he isn't entitled to have three-letter name. He's admitted he had no real control. He's admitted that there was no real risk management. Isn't that in and of itself, you're a lawyer, a sign of fraud?
I think that he is a mini Madoff. He is a Ponzi scheme artist. I appreciate this. Jesse, it'll go to a good cause. And happy Thanksgiving to you and to everybody. I've missed you. First of all, I urge my children over the last couple of years, particularly, if it looks too good to be true, it's not true. Crypto couldn't go from 10,000 to 100,000, and it's not going to keep going up and all these. You know, this was a system that was designed so that drug dealers could exchange value for their product for something that is a currency, in essence, without the government knowing, without having to report anything.
Are you saying all crypto?
I think all crypto is suspect.
The genesis.
It's all suspect.
I disagree.
This guy reminds me of Elizabeth Holmes, you know, attractive in his own way, but a real crook underneath. She got 11 years. He'll get something like this. He is a mini Madoff. A Ponzi scheme is where you keep taking money from customers, and you use that money, you spend that money, and you use it to keep the company afloat. That's what he was doing. He was a Ponzi scheme of epic proportions.
But Geraldo, the Ponzi schemes existed with actual money. Yeah. So it's not about crypto. It's the scheme itself.
Well, okay. I suspend my total disbelief about crypto. It's just that when you get to be my age and it hasn't happened, then it's, and anyway, I reserve my specific ire, Judge, to the Matt Damons of the world, the Gwyneth Paltrows of the world, the Kim Kardashians of the world,
Tom Brady.
Went out to their gullible millions and millions of fans who love them, who hang on their every word, and to listen to them, and fortune favors the bold. It's like it made you feel like a schmuck if you didn't get into crypto. And they should have liability. Mm-hmm. They should have liability. A Kim Kardashian had to pay over $1 million because she didn't reveal on her Instagram that she was getting paid to promote one of these coins. I think that they all should. There should be an implied liability for these endorsers.
Yeah.
In the old days, remember when they said paid celebrity endorser? It was on the bottom of the screen. That's what we should have again.
All right, Katie, you want to wrap it up?
watching this person, SBF, do all these interviews, there's a couple of different themes. The first one is that he kind of throws his hands up and says, I don't know what happened. The dog ate the homework. It just kind of like happened to me. I'm sorry. And then the media is now trying to turn him into a victim, which is the second theme of all of these interviews, which brings us to the point of going back to the funding. Can you imagine if a Republicans got all this money before an election, held on to more seats than they were supposed to hold on to, according to historic record, and this happened? The only questions that the media would be asking is, who did you donate to? And they would be hounding them down and going to every single office on Capitol Hill, to their campaigns, and asking them and demanding answers about how they were going to get money back to the investors that he has defrauded. And on the crypto thing, you know, Senator Cynthia Lummis, who actually is one of the very few people on Capitol Hill, Republican, who knows anything about crypto, says he's a fraudster. And as a result, now Democrats like Elizabeth Warren want to jump all over crypto and overregulate the market when there are legitimate reasons why people are looking for a currency like crypto as the U.S. government completely devalues their dollar and their spending power. So all the legitimate crypto guys are like, this guy should be in jail. Why is he still walking around? And now he's making it harder for us to run our legitimate businesses while he throws his hands up and acts like he's the victim in all of this. And the media helps him by hosting him, not pushing back too hard, not asking about where he spent the money to influence the very people who would be regulating him on Capitol Hill, and then giving him a round of applause for, like, showing up and trying to explain himself by saying it wasn't fraud. It just, like, happened to them.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. Something smells really bad, and it's going to get much worse.
Yeah, I think that's me. And it'll only get worse when he's in handcuffs. Ahead on the Five, America's fentanyl crisis gets shockingly worse. A father says his baby ingested the deadly drug at a playground.
Gonna probably take all night and I'll be right here. Chilling like a villain on my redwood deck. You ain't seen nothing yet. I'll be getting on my oldest until further notice. I'll be.
Does Yellowstone look the same today as they described in these journals 150 years ago? I'm walking in the shadow of the pioneers, following the trail they blazed.
Okay, here we go.
Yellowstone 150 with Kevin Costner is streaming right now. Sign up at FoxNation.com to get one of our special limited-time holiday offers.
Research shows people remember...
I'm Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.
Well, a shocking new low when it comes to America's fentanyl crisis. A dad says his 10-year-old baby almost died after accidentally eating fentanyl in a popular park in San Francisco. The baby playing in the grass and putting leaves in his mouth when the deadly drug left the child struggling to breathe until fast-thinking paramedics saved his life by using Narcan. The father is speaking out about what happened, saying, quote, "It's not just dealers and people you don't know who are impacted by this. It's tipping over into the broader populace. And it feels like it needs that kind of COVID-like attention, and it doesn't seem like it's getting that." And even woke San Francisco officials are horrified, one tweeting, "Hopefully this will serve as a wake-up call to those who are content with our status quo response to this crisis. Patrols will be stepped up in the area." So, Judge, the interesting thing that jumped out at me at that with the father is he's saying, look, the government knows how to respond to a health crisis. We just saw it with COVID. Why aren't they doing the same for the fentanyl crisis with how many people are overdosing?
Well, they're not doing it because one of the reasons is that the Democrats don't take it seriously. 95% of the fentanyl that comes into this country is coming through the southern border. And we sound like a broken record when we keep talking about it over and over and over again. And it's no surprise that it's going to be found in a myriad of places. I mean, kind of crazy, in a park, in leaves, and the child was eating grass. I think the child was with a babysitter or something. But, yeah, now you can buy Narcan in vending machines, which is a sad commentary on the state of this society. But I want to bring it closer to New York for a second, if I can. You know, as if Kathy Hochul isn't enough of a villain. I mean, not following through on the nursing home deaths that she said she would, not even discussing the issue of cashless bail, denying that crime is the number one problem for New Yorkers in this country. She's either an idiot or in denial. There was a law that was, or a bill that was passed by the, in Albany in New York, Democrats, Republicans, New York City, Long Island, all over the state, they wanted to have a board, a fentanyl board, to discuss the impact of fentanyl in New York, how to deal with it, what's the best way to fight it. She would not sign the bill. A Democrat for whom Joe Biden came and campaigned.
Why not?
She didn't have enough money for the travel and expenses for this group that was simply a sounding board that was going to put together a report. The woman who spent billions on a football field where her husband had the concessions and spent billions on something else. We pay double the price of COVID tests than anyone else in the country. She doesn't have money for it. The Democrats are in denial. And this is going to kill us, this fentanyl.
Yeah, the bill was supposed to create a 16-member fentanyl abuse and overdose prevention task force, Jesse.
This happened in Nancy Pelosi's district. Did Nancy put out a statement about this? I haven't seen it. I hope I'm wrong. I hope she put out a big, beefy statement because she's always talking about how much she cares about the kids. She says her whole career is about taking care of the children. Well, the children are dying in her district from fentanyl that comes in from China. All Joe Biden has to do is crack down on the Chinese. It's a police state. You don't think they know what's going on and who's cooking up these synthetics and shipping them to Mexico? They can look in everyone's phones. They know where everyone's going all over the country. We've seen it happen in real time. You're saying they're unaware of the people that are in these labs, yeah, shipping it out to Mexico? And then what about the Mexicans? Yeah. Joe can't get on the phone with Obrador and say, right now we're in the big trade war with corn. Why can't we just throw some tariffs up and go to the USMCA and say, make this a part of the leverage? There's so many tools out there that we could be using, and we're just being a tool instead.
Yeah, you know, Geraldo, the president had a three-hour conversation with the Chinese president, I believe it was 2 weeks ago, and the readout didn't mention the fentanyl crisis.
Well, I think that that's awful. If true, Katie, I think that's terrible. Fentanyl should be front of mind, and I don't want people to take this the wrong way, but I think that enforcement, interdiction, all those things, the pressure, trade, everything, every weapon should be employed that can be employed. This is 107,000 Americans died of fentanyl overdoses last year. 107,000, that's twice Vietnam. So it's awful. But we can't wring our hands and wish for a different world. I would like to see in every big city, in every problematic neighborhood, a vending machine for Narcan, where you go in with a very nominal cost, 10 cents, 25 cents, like an old, payphone, get your Narcan. It's awful. You want them to stop using it. They're not stopping using it. At least Narcan can save their lives.
Saves lives.
And I think that should be our priority, saving lives in these Narcan vending machines in hard-hit areas, like in my state, along the Ohio River, these communities, whole communities, wiped out. Every single CVS should have a Narcan vending machine.
Greg.
So we do know that a package the size of your fist can kill millions of people, right? Because it's so powerful, so tiny. That's why, even though it's coming over the border, there's not much you can do about it. You can throw it over a fence. You can slip it through a slat. So what you should be doing is you should be doing what I think, you know, a lot of Republicans are starting to come around to: declare war on cartels. You know, we went into Grenada for less. We can go and we could bomb, and Mexico can't do crap about it. And we could actually tell the cartels ahead of time what we're doing. Meanwhile, you got to ease the restrictions on prescription opioids so the casual user lives another day, because it's not the junkies who are dying. The junkies know what they're doing. They know what they're getting. They're experts at it. It's the casual person, the person whose prescriptions ran out, or the college kid that bought coke, you know, at a party, and it was part of the cocaine or part of the Xanax, or maybe it was just a street opioid. And they die. It's the casual user that dies. This, to me, mirrors the AIDS crisis of the 80s, A lot of people were uninterested in the disease because they weren't themselves the target. It doesn't matter until it hits home, and then that kind of jars your concerns loose. And, you know, in this case, baby swallows fentanyl. That's hitting home, right? Yeah. So I think that, you know, the government maybe cynically didn't care if junkies die. They don't care what our junkies are on the street. They're disgusting, whatever. So they didn't care. Well, it's not junkies that are dying. It's people who just by the luck of the draw, Russian roulette, took the wrong thing, or a baby on the ground, you know, eating it off the floor or yep. the grass.
Anyway. Cartels are the problem. All right. Coming up, furious over free speech, Elizabeth Warren ready to wage war on Elon Musk.
It was the night before.
Democrats beefing with Twitter's brash new owner, Elon Musk, over his plans to turn the social media giant into a free speech utopia. One of Musk's biggest critics, Senator Liz Warren, leading the charge.
Republicans say that Democrats are picking on Elon Musk. What's your reaction to that?
Elon Musk is doing just fine.
But do you think that users have a right to freedom of speech, even if what they're saying is wrong or offensive?
I think that one human being should not decide how millions of people communicate with each other. And it doesn't make any difference who that human being is. One human being should not be able to go into a dark room by himself and decide, oh, that person gets heard from, that person doesn't. That's not how it should work.
Wow. Hillary Vaughn ruling the corridors of the Capitol building. Really, congratulations to our colleague. Warren no, is right. ready for war after the White House promised to keep an eye on Twitter under its new ownership. But it isn't just the Democrats who are upset with Elon. Some big Hollywood celebrities like Jim Carrey, one of several bailing on the website. Carrey quit Twitter in the wake of the billionaire's takeover. And Whoopi Goldberg is warning others to get out.
Some things you have to walk away from until you can get the control you need of it. Right now, there's no way to get this control.
Yeah.
And so find the ones that you can get and fix and then come back and run that over.
So what do you think about free speech and Elon Musk and Twitter?
Wait.
Let me, it's one thing to be anti-woke, but it's not anti-woke to be absolutely repulsed by Kanye West praising Hitler. Or Nick Fuentes being lavishly celebrated at Mar-a-Lago. That's not woke.
Here's the bottom line. If you don't like what someone's saying, you don't have the right to tell them they have to close their mouth and they cannot speak. The United States Supreme Court in Brandenburg versus Ohio, I go to the highest court in the land, says no matter how repulsive the speech is, America was founded on the concept of free speech. Hate speech is protected. I'm tired of saying it. These people, like Elizabeth Warren, who says it's wrong or offensive that one human being should decide. Well, I don't like that Tim Cook is taking down the air drop for the protesters in China. That's one guy. You know, it goes on and on. That's not up to us. The thing that makes America different from every other country is that we have the right of freedom of speech, which means we have freedom of thought. We are not a fascist nation.
Are we free to say Jews will not replace us?
You're free to say whatever you want. I can slap you if I feel like it, but then I'll be prosecuted. Okay? Here's the bottom line. You don't like it. That doesn't mean the man is or the woman is prevented from saying it. My God, how far have we gotten from the founding of this nation?
Well, it will. All right, enough about Kanye. But, you know, the thing about my problem with Musk is, and I'm, again, a free speech advocate, is that too much of what he says is about himself. My home feed on Twitter.
Don't you hate that?
My home.
My home feed
on Twitter is Elon Musk. Every story is Elon Musk. I'm brave and I'm courageous. And
what is your one more thing? Stories about Geraldo from Geraldo involving Geraldo. You're the Elon Musk of the five, Geraldo.
I wish.
And you can slap someone in the face and not get prosecuted if you're Will Smith. That's what happens.
Very
and our
good.
Very own stupid son of a bitch's wife is amazing. tenacious. I love how she handled Liz Warren. And Liz Warren says you can't have one guy go in a dark room and control speech. Okay, well, before he bought it, there was four guys alone in a dark room controlling speech. She doesn't like this guy, okay? She wants her guys doing it. And what's changed? I challenge you and any Democrat to tell me what specifically has changed on Twitter.
I'll tell
you. Where is the hate speech?
It's clear.
Unleashed.
It's clear.
Are people shooting, what is it called, ammonia into their veins? Because no.
Is it not clear that Twitter has become Republican, whereas it used to be Democrat?
Oh, my gosh. They can affect an election.
I'm a Republican. I'm not saying
I'm not missing a thing. I think it seems great. And Whoopi let the cat out of the bag. She goes, it's about control.
Yep.
Look.
Well, the Hunter Biden saga does show what the failings were. But that was woke in action in all of
its malignancy.
It's so interesting that you brought up that you think it's gone from Democrats being in control to Republicans being in control. When Elon Musk has simply implemented policies that allow everybody to be treated
same,
he's
endorsed
equally
DeSantis.
Under the law. Who cares? The free speech thing isn't about being a Republican or a Democrat.
Joe Biden,
it's about everybody having the same standard on the platform. This isn't about hate speech. This isn't about misinformation or disinformation. This is about Democrats and particularly the White House and the Elizabeth Warrens of the world losing control over their private tech company that they've been using to go around the First Amendment to attack and censor news agencies that they don't agree with and topics that they don't like, whether it's the COVID lab leak theory, Joe Biden's disastrous and catastrophic withdrawal from Afghanistan, whether it's the Hunter Biden issue. I mean, the list goes on and on and on of all the things that they censored and the things that they promoted. And the White House has said, we've been flagging things on social media that we find problematic. Well, that's why Jen Psaki has to testify now in a court case, because it is not legal. It is unconstitutional for the government to use private entities to violate your constitutional rights. And that's exactly what they've been doing. And they want power and they want control. And that's why they're freaking out.
But
it has nothing to do
better,
with hate speech.
Is
nothing.
It any better, I put it to Craig, that Republicans are doing it now instead of Democrats?
What are they doing?
I think what makes this whole...
Well, she inviting Kanye West back, President Trump. So
just because you want free speech doesn't mean you endorse what people say.
You know this is BS. When they feared initially, the fear was that Musk wasn't going to censor the bad eggs, making Twitter a dangerous outfit. Then when he does ban the bad eggs, including people that were planning riots, they accuse him of being a censor, of having his thumb on the scale. And the best part about all of this, you can see it all playing out. And it's not on the mainstream media. It's not in legacy media. It's happening on Twitter. He's the first transparent owner they've ever had. You can have a problem with him, Geraldo, and you can tweet at him. He will answer you. And I think the real fear, again, what you said about Whoopi, about control, the media has lost control of the narrative because Twitter was where they got their stories from. So if you control Twitter, you controlled the media controlled public opinion, the public opinion then voted. So you had, that was your way of manipulating the election. Now that stuff's all gone. Everything's gone, which again goes to the fact that they didn't care about this.
But what about content moderation, though? Should it happen?
I think that's what he's doing. And in fact, I think he's using the same rules. He's using the same rules as was before. That's why he just threw off people for inciting violence.
Up next, has the Biden economy turned us into a nation of cheapskates?
Frank, how you doing? And it's, I catch a grenade for ya.
Throw my hand on a blade for ya. Has the terrible Biden economy turned Americans into cheapskates and ruined traditional dating forever? Wining, dining, and courtships are now a thing of the past. And being a cheap date is a good thing. Axios reporting the collision of a number of trends, including skyrocketing prices, the pandemic's popularization of outdoor hangouts, and the rise of online dating is starting to kill the traditional dinner date. Greg, how do you think you would handle dating during 2022?
That is an excellent question. I've thought about that because, you know, if I were single, It would be crazy. You know, it would just be completely nuts. And being polyamorous, I would just be all over the place. But I got to state the obvious, okay? If you want to be considered a worthy romantic suitor for a woman, you're going to have to pay.
Yes.
Because if you don't, instinctively and correctly, women will suss you out as someone who will be less than an adequate provider for a future family. This is courtesy of evolutionary psychology. It's nothing new. If you're not going to spring for dinner on your first date or a second date or a third date, what will you be like a year from now? What will you be like when she needs you to be a husband or a father? You won't be there. So that it is actually a really kind of a cogent clue for women to pick up on. You don't want a cheapskate.
And if you can't afford it, just put it on the plastic.
I love how it says popularized outdoor spaces. It's like that was forced on everybody. I don't think that women want to be outside in New York City in the wintertime eating, even if they are getting paid, you know, paid dinner on a real date. Like, take her inside. And not all girls are outdoor girls. They're not all into hiking or ice fishing like I am. Ugh. You got to make sure you know.
Hey, babe,
who you're
let's go ice
to.
Fishing.
Yeah, like, we'll
catch our dinner.
You just got to make sure.
I'll be the first Puerto Rican ever do it.
And the last, Geraldo. Right. So, this is tough. Any advice for young singles out there, Geraldo?
Yes. My main advice, my dad owned a diner, went broke, but I've worked in lots of kitchens over my life. If you can't afford to 20% tip someone and you want to save your money by stiffing the server, you can't afford the meal. You've got to downgrade your meal. Instead of, three chicken things, you get two or whatever it is. But you can't stiff the help. You really can't.
What if you really are broke?
Tell them you're an excellent chef.
That's what I was going to say. What happens if he invites you over to his apartment and he cooks you a romantic dinner, lights some candles, opens a bottle of wine? Is that good enough for
date?
Young
okay.
Judge Jeanine?
First date.
First of all. I'm the
you're
only
already at the apartment. Hey.
Yeah, no, that's the point. As the only single person at this table, okay, I can tell you this.
Yes.
First of all, I don't go to any man's apartment, okay, for him to cook for me. Second of all, the chances of you taking me out on a walk in my Dolce's or anything else are slim to none. Third, if you want to cheap out, whether it's on me or on the tip, you're not my kind of guy. That's the end of it. And you know what? I'll cook for you when I think you're ready.
Oh.
And you can cook.
And I can cook.
Soak it in, America. The Fastest is next with a crazy new movie about a bear who did a lot of cocaine.
Brett Bear?
I should have brought you flowers and held your hand. Should have gave you all my hours when I had the chance. Take you to every party, cause all it-
investing in gold doesn't have.
Time for The Fastest. First up, the trailer for Cocaine Bear is out. A movie about a real-life animal from the 80s who isn't Geraldo. Stumbles onto a duffel bag full of blow that had fallen out of a smuggler's plane.
No, don't eat that, don't eat that.
Let's see what kind of effect that has on
me. Apex predator. High on cocaine.
Wow, Katie, you know what? That is a date movie if I ever saw one, huh?
Sure. Yeah, sounds like a great date movie.
I love movies with animals in it. It's a real story.
Which is nuts. I felt bad for the bear, though. I mean, you didn't know what he was eating.
You know what? That's bad for the smuggler. Imagine losing a kilo
out of the
plane. You feel bad for the smuggler? That guy's a criminal.
He's
dead.
He died on his way down.
He's dead.
Well, no, but the thing is, Jesse makes a surprisingly good point. How is he going to explain to the kingpin...
The bear ate my coke.
That's never been said.
El Chapo's not buying that.
That's never been said. Geraldo, I believe you dated Cocaine Bear in the 70s.
Pablo Escobar.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Pablo Escobar.
Not mine. I read it somewhere. The story itself, it was outrageous to be believed, but it's a true story.
Mm-hmm.
Happened in 1985, a real drug smuggler. He threw the duffel bags full of coke out of the plane. He set the plane on autopilot. It crashed in the mountains, I think, of North Carolina. He jumped out of the airplane, and he hit his head on the tail of the plane as he was jumping out and died. Ooh. So the bear was on his own to eat the coke.
There you go, Judge.
This wasn't a grizzly bear.
You feel bad? Does it make you feel bad?
Yeah, I feel bad for the bear. I mean, you know, it apparently he's first seen medics approach the cabin where they hear a growling bear, only to find the bear cowering in the corner of the back room. Is that what cocaine does to you?
No, they knew he was on cocaine because he wouldn't shut up about his screenplay.
Oh, that was it. Makes sense to me. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Futuristic public toilets making their big debut in, of all places, San Francisco.
Of course.
And only lasting 3 days before crapping out and having to be repaired.
Which is
a shame, given the loo was called the future of public toilets.
Ooh, the loo.
Jesse, you're an expert on public toilets.
I am, because San Francisco spent $2 million building a one-stall toilet. And it's not even going to be completed until 2028. And this one's broken after 3 hours.
It's amazing. Yeah. Why is everything in San Francisco, Judge, connected, in San Francisco connected to bodily functions? It seems like every story is about that.
Well, because that's how Nancy Pelosi wants it. I mean, whether it's a Tenderloin district or anything else, I mean, she's really into all that stuff, and she deserves everything she gets.
The Tenderloin was named long before Nancy Pelosi.
Tenderloin.
Nancy Pelosi's not as good been as around it sounds. For 80 years and wasn't known as a drug den.
That's a very true thing.
I went to the doctor for Tenderloin. It was not good.
Yeah.
It was a lot of talcum powder.
It wasn't a drug haven for 80 years.
The thing about toilets is you gotta build them to handle poop, not politics.
There you go.
You can't have a
politically correct toilet. How can you tell the
difference? Yeah, what
one that works.
Yeah.
I mean, I go to all my old hotels and they have electronic this and that and the other thing.
Yeah, it's like just a basic toilet would be
flushes.
This is why this failed. This is perfect. Okay, so there's a guy named Bill Katz. He's the designer from San Francisco who designed this thing. He said, quote, "With their mottled stainless steel surface, they will literally reflect our diverse city neighborhoods and their deep-rooted history, creating sculptural street furniture."
Oh, wow.
So there
nice.
You go.
Yeah.
Well,
explains everything.
Everybody poops.
Yep.
Shouldn't that unite us? Why separate us? Oh, I'm wiped. All right, one more thing is up next.
I've always had trouble falling asleep.
Time now for one more thing, Greg.
Oh, we got tonight. It's like a retro Red Eye classic. It's all brand new. Patty Ann Brown, Rob Long, Joe DeVito, Cat Tip. That's tonight. Hey, let's do this. Gus Gutfeld's first fight. So, you know, I got a call from Gus's school. The principal called. Not pleased. Apparently, he's been starting some fights at school. Take a look at this one. Take a look at this one, huh?
Aww.
Look at
that. Oh, that's amazing. Is that's a Malinois.
Yeah,
look at the size of the dog.
And he ended up leaving because he couldn't handle that little brat. He's at obedience school right now in New Jersey, where he belongs.
Perfect dog for Gutfeld.
Adorable. Perfect. Jesse?
I met that guy, Rob, at a spa in the relaxation room.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Two men in robes in Colorado. That's how I met that dude. He was like, you know Gutfeld? Yeah. I was like, yeah, who are you? Stop looking at my robe.
Okay.
If you guys are friends with some Fox News fans, you are in for a treat with every purchase of $50 or more. In partnership with Blankets of Hope, you get free stuff from the Fox News shop. You got hats. You got beanies. You got ugly sweater. No, this isn't an ugly sweater.
That's a nice sweater.
It's a nice sweater.
Let me see that sweater, Jesse. Thanks.
It's an ugly, nice sweater.
I don't want it. And you have this awesome scarf.
You don't want this?
No, you can take it.
Oh, damn right I'm taking it. No, it's
so
too big.
So go there right now.
Don't wear that in the building.
Shop.fox.com. And tonight, Jesse wears prime time. Kellyanne Conway, Tulsi Gabbard, and Rand Paul.
Okay. All right. Brother. Now, as you all know, Stella Rox dyed fur for special occasions. She always looks fabulous. There she is, one Easter. Well, I think we have more pictures of Stella dyed. Hello, hello, hello. There she is with pink ears. All right. Well, just like always, China came out with their own knockoff. Oh. Check out this Chinese dog trying to pull off the dyed fur look. Not cute. Turns out the dog's owner picked bright green to easily keep track of his pooch. He could use a few tips from my Stella. All right, Araldo.
Well, I visited with my oldest friend on earth, Vic Fiorio. We went to work in the highway department in the town of Babylon. Oh, the first I was in California with my family. It's Ryan, my nephew-in-law. That's Vincent, the little one. My son Gabriel, my son Cruz. Vincent, Desmond, we had a wonderful time on the West Coast. Deb, the fabulous hostess, that's Deb on the left, my daughter-in-law, my son Cruz. Here's Vic, my dear friend, with Wilma, his wife. We went out to that's the Snake River in southeast Idaho, where Evel Knievel, further downriver, attempted to jump it. So it was a wonderful time going to God's country there. There's the Snake River. Vic's an excellent off-road driver. It had snowed. It was a winter wonderland. I loved it. We had a great time.
Okay, Katie.
All right. So most 18-year-olds live life on their Instagram feed and posts, but this one wants to serve his hometown. Jalen Smith is running to be the next mayor of Earl, Arkansas. He's a recent high school grad, made it through his local primary runoff, and says he's running to improve safety and transportation. So next Tuesday is a big night for him. Congrats to Jalen.
All right,
for
good
the
for him. That's it for us. Special report is up next. Hey, Brett.
Hey, Judge. Thank you. Good evening and welcome to Washington.
The Will Kane Show is now dropping 5 episodes a week. Join Fox & Friends weekend host Will Kane as he tackles the latest headlines from his unique perspective, along with thought-provoking interviews with leading figures and live calls from viewers and listeners. Listen wherever you download your favorite podcasts. Listen to The 5 ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.